He understands that there's never a situation where he can say, I'm not being matzliach, and ze lo lech li, ve ze lo matim li, ve lo ba li, ve'in li koyach. Those difficulties, those ze lo lech li, that's dafki his mission. It's not the thing that's coming to mafriya the mission, that is the mission. Summarize, just repeat the last four lines and go on to the next paragraph. Reish Samach Tes in the Hebrew, in the French, I don't know, in the English. Ala Adam Laharer, Dafka Hanishainis Haimuchodim Ha'ivrim Alai. Dafka, these unique challenges and difficulties that I'm experiencing. Haim Afik Ha'ashkoim Yuchad She'anik Liashem Isparach. This is the unique investment that Hashem's given me. This is where Hashem's investing in me. Yesh kan mokum ubika lid gaber. This is where I have an opportunity to it would be useful to see the English here. Just to know how he translates that. Yesh kan mokum ubika lid gaber behem. To make a fence, I don't exactly know what he wants. Zu tafkidia yichoydi alai admus. This is my unique mission in the world. The mission that nobody else, not David HaMelech, not Mashiach, not Moshe Rabbeinu, not Avraham Avinu, could do. Only I can do this mission. And it's dafka, you know where your mission is where the things are not going so well. If you happen to be born with a good memory and you remember everything, that's not your mission. That's a tool that you use in order to fulfill your mission. But you don't sit back and say, well, I've got to make good memory, I remember everything, so now I'm fine, I don't have to do anything. You'll look and see where your problems are. That's your mission. The things you've got naturally and came, those are that's your bag of tricks. That's your toolbox. The areas you don't have, the areas that are difficult, the areas where you battle and struggle, that's your mission.
But you can succeed or you can fall.
In the area of Bechira, you can succeed and fall, but outside of Bechira, there's no success or failure. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Rav Hutner is a Moedika, sorry, one second, Rav Hutner is a Moedika letter. I mentioned this to a Bocher the other day, he phoned me. He writes to Rav Hutner complaining about being torn up inside because he's living a double life. On the one hand, he's a frum bocher learning in Torah, whatever. And on the other hand, he's up to whatever he was up to. And he's leading this double life. And Rav Hutner wrote back to him and said, that's not a double life. That's a Jewish life. That's life. Life is about stirrers and contradictions. You're not leading a double life. That's life. You're made up of a gufan and a shaman. And a gufan and a shaman are always in struggle. And one day the neshama wins, and one day the guf wins. And one in the morning the neshama wins, in the afternoon the guf wins. And from 9 to 10 the neshama is doing very well. And so at 10 o'clock the guf takes over. That's not a double life. That's life. The problems and difficulties and nichsholim and failures and fallings, that's all part of the success ultimately. That's Shiva Tzadik Yopu Vakam. That's Yerida Shetzari Chaliyah. But you're right, you can use your Bechira and you can lose it all. In the area of Bechira, yeah.
There are difficulties in life that come to you and you have to deal with them because you're faced with them. There are other difficulties in life that you can actually avoid. So one avoids those difficulties.
Of course.
One should.
In general, I mean, you have to know. You have to be clear that you know that those are difficulties, you can avoid them. I mean, what do you mean I can avoid them? It means your name's not on the envelope? This letter's not addressed to you? If the letter's addressed to you, you can't avoid it. You have to find out why you ignore this at your own peril. I mean, why would you ignore it? You get one of those letters with a big red, last warning. You can ignore it if you want, for sure. You can ignore it. No, you have to. That's a shikul. If something's crossed your desk, you have to ask yourself, is this my job or not? If it's your job, you've got to do everything you can. If it's not your job, forget about it. That's a madrega as well, by the way. To know what your job is and what's not your job, and to know how to walk away from something that's not job, completely relax, because it wasn't your job, so Hashem's taking care of it. But if it's your job, it's your job. You better do it. We make a lot of unnecessary difficulties for ourselves as well. We're not talking about those. We're talking about the unique missions that Hashem gives us. Another one, please. It's good. No. The funny stuff's in the cupboard. One coffee, two. We make most of our problems are self-inflicted. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about we saw, yeah, that a lot of the problems we have come from jealousy, come from false expectations, come from we create a lot of unnecessary pain and agony for ourselves. Talking about what a Kodesh Baruch Hu measures out for you. The Yisurim, the suffering, the tests we have are Biduk, Hashem's measuring cup. Those we have to deal with. That's our mission in life. And some are temporary, some are things you have to deal with just for now, and some things you know we have ongoing, we're carrying the same baggage around for a long, long time. And some things you have an Yisrael that you deal with and you move on. And sometimes, as you say, you pass the Yisrael, and sometimes you get sideswiped. You know? Sometimes you don't realize, oi, why did I say something? I should have kept, oi, what? You get caught in a, on a fast day, whatever, you know. Our defenses are down and we do things we shouldn't have done. So fine, you have to pick yourself up, do tshuva and move on.
Do you die when you fulfilled your mission?
You could die before you fulfill your mission also.
If you have fulfilled your mission.
If you fulfilled your mission, there's no reason for it to be here. There may be another reason for you to be here. You're right. Be'ikaroni, once you fulfilled your mission here, that's it. It's game over. But there may be a reason why Hashem would keep you here, even though you fulfilled your mission, to be an inspiration for other people. Not necessarily. It means that's not part of your mission. It's just Hashem sees you as somebody who's reached a certain level. And this guy I can use for another reason. You know, it might become part of your mission then, but it wasn't your Bechira avoider, let's say. Or the other way around is a person can have lost the right to live because he's such a Rosh, and I'll keep him alive because he then acts as a Nisoin for people. He's the guy that, you know, everything goes well for him even though he's a big Rosh, and he becomes a Shliach of the Sotan. There's that aspect as well. But essentially, Shkoch, thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you.
You know, when you see it, it's an amazing thing. How does the Pasuk describe Adam Rishon's death? It says, Adam Rishon 930 years, and he died. That's not the way we talk. It said, Adam Rishon died. How old was he? 930 years old. It says he lived 930 years, and he died. You know what it's telling you? It means, you know why he died? Because he'd lived 930 years. That was the cause of death. He fulfilled his mission. He was in this world for 930 years and he died. He wrote through all the whole of Chumash. Everybody, when they die, it says he lived kach for kach for kach and he died. The Yomos. Why did he die? Because he lived 970 years. You know, and the cause of death, the coroner writes there. The cause of death, 930 years. He had a heart attack out of this.
They didn't die of illnesses before.
Yeah, but it's even today. Even today. You have somebody, God forbid, he passed away. Was he ill? Was he sick? Was he... That's how he died. That's not why he died. How he died? Suddenly he went outside and he was sweaty, got a cold, whatever. That's not why he died. He died because your time's up. Yeah, the clock ran out. He lived 930 years and died. That's why he died. How he died? Yeah, he tripped, he fell. The world wants you to think the how is the why. Watch carefully. Watch carefully. It's a big disorder. The world wants you to think, the newspapers want you to think that the how is the why. It's the whole of politics is there. Why are the Arabs sending missiles Dafka now? Because Hashem told them to. That's what we need. What Hashem wants. Why this? Why that? Why that? Because that's what Hashem wants. How's it happening? Sada, now we can look at all the, you know, talk Loshen Meshugoyim, you know, you can talk Loshen Ateva. We have to get our language sorted out as well. We talk a funny language. We talk Loshen Ateva, Loshen... Chofetz Chaim says it's like talking Loshen Meshugoyim. Lo la'achochem lechem. Yeah, that's what Koyle says. Lo la'achochem lechem. That means if you're very clever, it doesn't mean you lack panosa. And if you have panosa, it doesn't mean you're very clever. No, that's what it means, right? How often do we find ourselves saying the following words? Yeah, Yankel Mamish did it very well. His company just took off whatever, and you say, he's a good guy, he knows business, this guy's clever, he's a choshel, he's a chochem, you know, he's a pikeach, he understands business. we just said lo lachok lecha. Now I'm just speaking with derech hateva. What's derech hateva? Rosh Hashanah. That's not why he made a lot of money, not because he's clever. I can show you dumbbells that made a lot of money. I can show you the biggest geniuses that are paupers. And I don't need even that. I have toilets. I have a foolish apostle tonight that says, Lola Chochem Lechem. So why are you telling me that his business is doing so well? Because he really understands. You know, he's got a good head. He's a good...
Opposite, because he should get money, he has a good idea.
That could be also. Yeah. That's what Moshe Rachman said. Yeah. Shana mentioned it here.
Hashem wants it to happen.
Yeah.
Of course. No, but sometimes Hashem hides it. He's right. Sometimes Hashem hides it. He takes a clever guy. He wants the guy to have lots of panos. So he makes him clever and he gives him ideas. Rav Shana mentioned it here once when he spoke. He mentioned Moshe Reichman, who is the richest Jew, probably the richest man in the world, said that one day Hashem decided he wants to give him a lot of money. So he put a chook in his cup to buy a building. So he bought a building and made a lot of money. One day Hashem woke up and decided that he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to lose a lot of money. So he put a chook in his cup to buy a building. He bought a building and he lost a lot of money. So that's... He didn't make a lot of money because he bought the right building. And he didn't lose money because he bought the wrong building. That's how it happened. Yeah. Why it happened is because that's what Hashem wanted. It's a hard limud, but when you start seeing it, and you start living like this, you irritate people when you live like that. I don't know if you should always tell them what you say. The people find it very irritating to be exposed to reality. But for yourself, have a look. You'll see life looks very different when you live like that. I think you're crazy if you don't. You're living in a meshugan of hell. You're living in a world of cause and effect when it doesn't exist. You're living in a fantasy world. Sorry? What done? Well, Noah Weinberg told me once, asked this guy, just made a fortune of money. He said, how do you make so much money? He said, all the mistakes I made suddenly turned out good. He understood life. I bought the wrong shares at the wrong time and they went up. And I sold shares when I shouldn't have. And I don't know, I told my secretary to buy shares and she bought the wrong, whatever. He said, every mistake I made just turned out good. That's an honest machine. You're right, you have to know where you're holding and where you can deal with and where you can... I'm saying you have to find your comfort zone to a certain extent. Mechinami, you can't just plunge into it deeply, but light, you have to sensitize yourself to the truth of the Torah. We have to take our das, whatever you want to call it, and replace it with das Torah. That's the whole avoider. Is to take our das balabatish, our das goyish, whatever you want to call my das, whatever it is at the moment, and slowly, slowly... synchronize it with Torah thinking.
This is dangerous to removing the Y from the balance. I could drive 20 kilometers on the highway because you know my time is whenever my time is. So I don't have to worry about precipitating that day.
You can die early, by the way. You can shorten your life.
So don't try.
We're not fatalists. Let me ask you a question. No, I want to deal with this because that's a Yetzer Hara that always comes at this time. No, it's good. That's one of the things that Torah does. So let me ask you a question. Why is it? Yeah. That you think that you can drive 200 kilometers an hour and then my time's up.
That's not going to happen to me.
Where do you know that from? No, because it's not going to happen to you. Because if it happens, that's what's beshit. It means if I'm supposed to die, when I'm supposed to die when I'm 100, I'm now 80. So I can do whatever I want, I'm not going to die. Because I've only got another 20 years to live. Nahon? How do you know that? Because every morning, no, he's right, because every morning, because you believe in the Torah. The Torah tells you have to drive according to the speed limit. That over the speed limit is an Isidoraisa. The Torah says, Ushmate Mo'od al Nafsho Seichel. The Torah says, don't even put yourself into a Sakona where you know you'll be able to get out of it. It's also to put yourself into a Sakona. So the same Torah that's telling you, separate the half from the one, is telling you how to live your life properly, responsibly, intelligently. You can't separate the Torah when it suits you. I believe the Torah says that I'm going to die when I'm going to die. Therefore, I'm going to live like a Bahama anyway. Sorry, the Torah says, well, I live like a Bahama. You're a responsible, mature individual. And we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. That's the problem. Some of us don't think we're going to die. Some of us think there's a group of people that die and I'm not a member of that club. I'm going to live forever. There's a lot of people live like that. They generally don't believe they're going to die. There's a club called the Shtervas. There's a club of people called the Dyers.
The Dyers?
The people are going to die. I'm not a card carrying member of that club, so I'm fine. I'm good.
No, I don't think that's...
Good luck to them.
Taxes. Death and taxes.
Most of them are frozen before they die. Okay.
Just want to add a point. One realizes that one's mortality when things start going wrong.
Of course. That's when you recognize it. That's as you start getting older. That's why kids don't have this problem. When you get your first grey hair, that's like a subpoena to basement. You know? That's like Hashem's letting you know, it's time to start preparing for the journey. Of course. That's what happens. That's why the Yisurim are good for us, because they wake us up to reality. What is the feeling, the sense? Tchusha is a sense, the strongest sense that causes a person to have suffering. Hagoshes merirus, atzus v'dikayon. What causes this bitterness, the sadness, the depression? Hatzluna nafutze b'yoyzehi madua yigra chelki mishel acherim. Ani rotze liyod kemo kulam. Why am I different? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have these problems? Why can't I have a normal life? Why can't I have a normal family? Why can't I have normal panos? Why can't I have health? Blah, 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 blah. If lekol acherim yesh kesef, gam ani rotze kesef. If lekol acherim yesh chay nesuin musharim, if everyone else has money, I want money. If everyone else has got a happy marriage, I also want a happy marriage. If lekol acherim yesh yeladim, gam ani rotze yeladim. Ulam shoresh ha'adir shenini yichyochid, u'miyuchad im tachlis ha'yimucheresh mishelim. However, if you have a deep knowledge that you're unique and you have a unique mission in this world, and I have a unique set of circumstances, which is what I have to fulfill in my life, your entire look on life changes radically. If I'm suffering in a way that other people aren't, I've got a certain job to do, which requires this particular Nisrael, which they don't have. They, by the way, have another job, which requires them to go through certain Nisraelness, which you don't have. And if I would show you what their Nisraelness looked like, you'd be very happy to leave them where they are. The grass always looks greener on the other side. You know why? You know why? What's the shayish of that statement? You know why the grass always looks greener on the other side? Not yours. Yeah, but so why does his lawn look greener?
Fertilizer.
So mow your lawn.
You're only focused on the green. You only see the green.
I'll tell you what the shredish is. The grass, your grass is real grass. So it can't even be so green. The grass on the other side is fantasy grass. You can make that as you want. It's like in the opposition. Being in the opposition is the best job. If I was looking for a job, if I would relive my life, I would get a job as being in the opposition. You get the same pay as the guys that are not in the opposition, and you don't have to do anything except complain and no responsibility. And when you become in the government, you're just as bad as the guy that was there before you. Stay in the opposition. It's the best place to be. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work. You know, no accountant. No one will tell you you messed up. The guy in power has to deal with the reality of the situation. There's only so much money, only so many people. The guy in opposition, he's in fantasy land. He can do what he wants. What the other guy's got is fantasy. So of course it looks great. He's got everything smooth and lovely because you're... For him, his world's real. It's also filled with the problems and the difficulties. My world for me is real. No, no, real's painful. His world's fantasy. Fantasy is divine.
That's
what I'm saying. The grass is green on the other side because it's not real grass. It's a fantasy grass. You make it into something that's not real. Hatzada rishon li demoidet imaygah shehutel alai. The first step you have to take in order to overcome the difficulties we have to deal with, kulahaki b'shlichusa hayinuchedes, is to recognize the unique job you've been given. What are these unique crack, whatever, shoot guys, you know, the only guy that can do this, you know, the unique, whatever, the guy that can troubleshoot any computer problem. You're the only guy in the world that can do that. So you're going to have a lot of problems coming across your desk. My sister once worked for the Hilton Hotel Group. Her job was to troubleshoot. Wherever there was a problem in a hotel, she used to go in and have to solve the problem. That's what her job was. So she always had a lot of problems. She was never upset. That was a finesse. There were no problems she was upset because there's nothing to do. You get, understand the marshal here? If you're the unique guy that can solve whatever, all these weird computer problems or whatever, you're only too happy. Why are you complaining? If you're a locksmith, you want people breaking their keys. The guy comes in to get a new key. Tell him, can't you look after your keys? Now I've got to get up and make you a key. No, you're happy that the guy won't. If you understand that, so that the bitterness and the depression and the sadness of your problems go away. The problem's a problem, the pain's a pain, I'm not saying not. The difficulty's a difficulty, but the depression that comes with it, the bitterness that comes from the jealousy is not there. So you've reduced the suffering enormously. If I withstand this nisoy, this sevel that I'm going through now will become my greatness. And if not, this is where you'll fall. And then you have to get up and try again.
Or you are doing the wrong job.
Yeah, it's very complex. You know, you have to sit down sometimes, talk to someone who's objective, try and work it out. You don't always, we're caught up in our old world. We don't always see sometimes. That's why you have to find answers. It's an important share we need to go through at some stage. There is between a practical problem and a life problem. How to turn a life problem into a practical problem if you ask Mishali. That's an important subject. We have to stop here. Hagoshes akine hi echad hamashvim agedoylim al koiches hanefesh. Jealousy is one of the most powerful forces that affects a person. Lo bichdi hizaranu chazal ki akine hi min advarim amoytzim es adim en oylo. One of the three things that Chazal say, stay away from it, takes you out of reality.
The first murder took place like that. The first murder took place because of
it. It takes you out of reality. And it comes from a lack of understanding of who Hashem is and who you are in Hashem's world. Rega shakina tofes is liboy shelo odnem v'einu maniach lo yishtachrim inem. Mamas, you know that. Anybody who's had jealousy issues, you know it consumes you. Consumed by jealousy, we say it in English. Consumed. Consumed means totally consumed. But now you say, "Look, Hashem, even if Soin b'chayev regis u'goyim lo lizvul sevul chinam, you're going to have suffering as it is. Why make it worse? The jealousy makes the suffering much, much worse. Sevul shein lo shayches yishir of etzev akay v'tzar. The pain that comes through the jealousy has nothing to do with the etzev b'soin that you have. Let's Hashem tomorrow be misholim and we'll try and take this finish." I have a problem. I could talk for hours about it as well. And those of you who know me, that's not an idle threat. What do you speak about? I don't want to speak for more than 10, 15 minutes. Gag. What do you say? What don't you say? What do you leave out? I have a real problem here.
Can't make it.